OTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping lives for a better tomorrow.
What's going on? My name is Stephen Knight, and you're listening to The Stephen Knight Show.
I know we broke your heart, tears rolling down your face. You know I'm coming over to make sure you're okay. You don't have to wait, I'ma save the day. Call me Superman, you can go and play. Girl, I'm on my way, girl, I'm on my way.
Good evening and welcome to the Stephen Knight Show here on EOTM Radio. As always, I have to thank you for joining us tonight. We'll be discussing the latest in entertainment news, sports, fashion, and movie reviews. Tonight we welcome CEO of Jackson Events and Entertainment LLC, Janet Jackson, not the singer, but another Janet Jackson, R&B diva Faith Evans' daughter, Tajiri, who is creating her own music. Tajir is creating her own music, and then, of course, the talented R&B, hip-hop singer-songwriter, Mars. We definitely look forward to you being part of the discussion, so call us your questions and comments. The number is 718-664-6543. Again, that's 718-664-6543. You can also hit us up on chat. There's a link on our Facebook page. And I want to remind you, we're on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Google+. We have a website. Look up Stephen Knight Show, The Stephen Knight Show, and you'll find us on our social media. But, Ms. Parker, how are you feeling?
Made myself go. it's Monday. Yeah. It's Monday. You know how it is.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, the crazy thing is everybody's running around getting prepared for this 3 inches of snow which we might be getting. You know, but
I went to Walmart midday because I knew it was going to be a mess after work, and I heard that Walmart is pretty much empty. I believe too.
Yeah, people were posting pictures on social media of the stores, no bread, anywhere. I went to the grocery store on my lunch break, and it was a madhouse in there. People running around. There was a grandma. She like. Wait for me to get out of the parking spot. That's the hung the horn at me. I mean, they're taking this thing seriously.
Well, that grocery store by your house is it's a lot of old people in there.
Sure.
24 hours.
Yep. And so,
happy that people are going to be more prepared because, you know, what happened last time was just really unfortunate. It seemed like people are going to be staying home. The schools are already closed. State of emergency have already been declared. So I think it's going to be better. I think people are going to be in their homes this time. So I was cracking up because I was watching the news, and it said that alcohol sales were up 30% last time it snowed. I'm thinking to myself, okay, people really didn't had a chance to really, you know, go to the grocery store and stuff, and they were saying that now that people are shopping in advance, it's going to be like more like 40 to 50% more. I'm like, wow, people are sitting at home really drinking. I'm a little disappointed because for me, it's a normal day.
Right.
Nothing changes because we already work from home.
Right.
So there is no, like, our employer doesn't even check on us to see if we're okay or whatever. It's almost like nothing happens with our schedule.
Right.
Everybody else is off work. And so I think it's more enjoyable for everybody than us. It's just like, okay, business as usual.
Business as usual. Exactly. And I'm upset I probably won't be able to get to the gym, but I got a bunch of home workouts I'm going to be doing. So you're fortunate because you have a gym in your building, your high-rise building stand. So,
I'm very fortunate. I've really been using a lot the past month. I like not going to the gym because that's really my only time to socialize. But the past 3 weeks, it's been really horrible weather. Even last Tuesday and Wednesday, it rained like crazy.
Yeah.
And work from home, it's hard to leave your home and go out into the rain when you don't have to. So it's been great having one at home. And you know, it's well equipped and I can still work out, but I do miss the whole getting out and socializing with my regular gym rat buddies and all that kind of stuff during the week. But I'm glad that everybody is getting prepared and hopefully will be safe at home when it's snow hits.
Exactly. I agree. My gym partner, he runs so much games. Today, let me tell you what he did. And, you know, you mess with me because I posted something out of frustration last week. He said, I'm going to tell him, but you know. So he texted me today.
I was like, you must not have Facebook.
He's not on Facebook. But,
and I don't understand why after all these years, Stephen, you are one of the people who, when something bothers you, it never goes away. After all these years, like, why do you still let it bother you? I just don't get it.
No, but this frustrated me today. So I get to the gym, and right as I'm pulling into the gym, he texts me, I'm running 10 minutes late. First of all, I live 10 minutes away because he just told me 10 minutes ago. But I said, okay, whatever. So I was waiting in my car. I was actually listening to the new Toni Braxton and Babyface CD. That's a great CD so far, what I've heard. Anyway, so I'm listening to that, and then I wait 10 minutes, and then he texts me, he can't make it.
Oh, after you had already waited
like 20 minutes. Yeah. So, wow. You know, but I had a great workout. Anyway.
Good. That's good. So you went after work today?
Yeah, I went after work. I went about 7 o'clock. But I do have some sad news, and Adam gave me permission to discuss on the show. Last week he was out with a family emergency. I checked on him after the show, and he had an emergency with his father. And unfortunately, his father passed away last night. So he is definitely, his whole family is definitely in our prayers, and our thoughts and prayers, and just keep him uplifted. I know it's never easy when you lose a family member, especially anyone really, but especially your father. So,
your parents. Right. Definitely our prayers and thoughts are with him and his family. And, you know, if you have him on your social media, please show him some love.
Yeah, please do. And yeah, he said he'll be back next week, but he wanted me to tell everyone, you know, the news. And also, Janera, you know, she had a death event last week, but she'll be back next week as well. So we're keeping both of those uplifted in our prayers.
Janera. And I know that I spoke to someone that we all used to work with, and it's that she never was actually stuck out there. Last time it snowed for 23 hours, knowing her, I know it wasn't easy, so... Definitely,
yeah.
You know, get some rest. And I know that ordeal was probably traumatizing, but and then a death in your family, you're definitely in my prayer.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, Chike, what's going on, Chike Evans?
Hello, people. How is everybody?
How you doing?
Hey, Chike.
I'm doing well.
Happy
what's
Monday.
Up, Ms. Parker? Happy what's Monday up? To you, too.
Congrats to you on your good news I saw on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, congrats.
Oh yeah, thank you. I'm still not. It hasn't settled in yet.
Share with the audience.
Yeah, we can share that. I was contacted by the OWN Network via email about a new project that they're going to start, and it has to do with social media and them plugging some of their shows. I had already been an OWN ambassador, which is basically helping them promote the shows. If I'm watching something, I'll, you know, tweet about it or on Facebook about it. But now, you know, it's concrete. You know, the next email was, okay, we want you to do this. The project is going to be this. And I needed to agree or not agree to be a part of it. I agreed to be a part of it, of course, because it's Oprah. Why wouldn't I agree to be a part of it?
Right.
And the next phase was the next day when I got, you know, checked my email, I had a contract. I was like, what? Are you serious?
Wow.
So I'm officially under contract with OWN with social media content.
Congratulations. That's
thank
big.
You. Thank
congratulations.
You.
Yeah. Well deserved as well. Cause I know
thank you.
Definitely.
You definitely killed the social media, you know, so it's well deserved. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So,
and so this entire weekend I celebrated, you know, a new job. I think I told you guys I got a new job with Penn Medicine in Philadelphia. So I have a new job with them, and then this, you know, information, the new position in OWN. So all weekend I've been running. I did manage to get to the movie.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a good scene of a TK.
2014 starting off pretty good. Pretty good.
So you said that you did see movies this weekend?
Yeah, I did see a movie this weekend. It was The Monuments Men, a George Clooney movie. He directed and produced it. It stars himself, Matt Damon, and Bill Murray, and John Goodman. Basically, it's a war movie. It's a true story, wartime during Hitler and the reign of the Nazi. Basically, they were commissioned by the U.S. government to go into Nazi Germany and obtain all of the artwork. Because I don't know if you know anything about history and, you know, the time of the war, when the Nazis started to lose, Hitler threatened to destroy all of the artwork. Anything that was artistic, he was just going to burn and destroy. And these gentlemen who were historians and artists themselves band together with the help of the government to go to Nazi Germany and take back all the art. So that's basically what it was about. They did not have any military training. Only training that they had was, you know, to be able to spot what is good art. And it's pretty interesting, especially since it was based on it. Couldn't believe that, you know, these people got together and threw themselves in the face of danger to save art, which I'm glad that they did. We wouldn't have some of the great artwork that we have now if it wasn't for them and their bravery. So
yeah.
I highly recommend it, definitely.
Sounds like a good plot, a really good plot. What,
yeah,
did they come
I repeat,
out
it's
another...
a true story.
Yeah, right. That's always made for a good story, if it's true, you know, made for a
mm-hmm.
true story. And I know that the Oscars are coming up. Anything coming out, you know, in the next couple of weeks or so that you're looking forward to?
Not really. Most of my things that I'm looking for will come out post-Oscars. Of course, I'm looking at Angelina Jolie and Maleficent. I want to see that really bad. I think that that role is going to be really juicy for her. She plays a villain to the T. I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking for a couple independent films to come out. We're approaching spring and the summertime, so there's going to be a lot of independent film festivals, especially in this area of the country. We'll be on the road attending those as well, so I'll have a whole lot of independent feature films that I'll be reviewing.
Okay. And I did actually watch that movie by...
Made Out Alive?
Yes. It was good.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
and I thought that it was pretty good on the fact that, you know, it really wasn't gory. It really didn't,
right.
It wasn't overtly in your face that,
mm-hmm.
you know, there was a zombie or a pandemic, whatever.
Right, yeah.
It was the suggestive that made it more
right.
frightening for you.
Let me ask you on this Parker a question. I was wondering about this, and then I was, like, doing some entertainment research. And a psychiatrist believes that, you know, we all take selfies, but fears that selfies can ruin the confidence of teens if they don't get likes. What
I
do you
can
think
see that.
I yeah, because I know grown
that.
I know grown people who does things on and you know who I'm you know who I'm talking
uh-huh.
about.
Right.
Does thing on Facebook just for likes, and when they don't get enough likes, they take it off and put something else back up. Just for like, I know grown 40, 35, so I can imagine. Yes, I agree.
But look, no, it reminds me of this picture I think I posted on Instagram last year. And it's these two girls, they're in their bikini bathing suits, but it's snowing outside.
Oh, yeah, and it's snow.
And it says, girl, I know it's cold, but we need the lights. But I do think, because I feel bad, I know if I'm scrolling on Instagram and I see, you know, a girl that has posted a selfie and no one likes it, I feel bad, I always like it.
It's funny because I know people who are social media and liking, I don't know how to describe what word to use, but they know a certain time of day to put pictures up. Like, I was like, when they were telling me this, I was like, what? They're like, there's a certain
research.
Time of day when people are, like, most likely to like your pictures.
Some people.
Well,
it's
know,
a serious business for some people.
It is. And there's this one, no, but I hate when I see somebody, and you call me hate if you want. When I see someone that gets, like, an average of 200 likes, a pup picture, then you see them in person, you're like, what you getting all the likes for? But anyway, there was this man, he did a study, and he said, for Twitter, the best time to tweet is at 4 o'clock. Because most people
yes,
are.
Yes, and that's true. You know I'm a Twitter beast,
day.
And that's true.
Right, and they're kind of winding down for the day, and they start checking social media and stuff like that. But it's at 4 o'clock is the prime time to tweet. For you tweet it out there. Anyway,
we need to have a show on that, Mr. Knight. We need to actually explore that. Yes.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, because some people, I didn't know some people that, I mean, every day they post themselves. I like posting funny things, you know, pictures and things, funny things, but some people, they you get, you know what they wear every day, because they give you the play-by-play. But anyway, Chiki, as always, we appreciate, congratulations, everything that's happening for you, and keep up the great work.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Mr. A-Rod, what's going on?
What up, what up? Steven, Ms. Parker.
Happy Monday.
I had a long day. Congress whooped my today, boys.
Oh, yeah.
They put
Mr. Intern. Capital Intern.
They are taking full advantage of their free labor. I'm telling you. They taking full advantage. First of all, just
so
let me say this.
Are you at the White House?
Oh no, I'm at the Capitol. I'm actually
the Capitol
at
building. Okay.
Yeah. I'm at the one of the House office buildings for the House of Representatives, Cannon office building,
cool.
To be exact. So, yeah.
That's very cool.
Are you enjoying
I'm having a great time. I am.
That's good.
I'm having a great time. Absolutely. Great time. Great people. Just a great experience. It really is. Really is. Now, Chiki. Working these two, man, he's just working, man. He's getting two jobs, big time. Oprah.
Yeah,
he can
stay on his grind now.
He's the hardest working brother up on internet radio, I'm telling y'all.
He
don't play. Yes, major. Big ups. That is major. And don't forget to mention the Stephen Knight Show to Oprah if you get a chance to.
Exactly. What was going on in the sports?
Well, let's see. The Winter Olympics, it's not all that. I'm actually a big ice skating fan, like the figure skating dance and stuff. Like I enjoy seeing the couples skating, and I actually like when the guy will pick up the girl, toss her in the air, and she'll just be spinning around in the air. And she'll just actually land on, one foot on the ice, perfect, stuff like that. It just gets
that me. That hasn't started yet, though, Aaron. The reason you're not liking the one that's on right now is because it's dance. It's not.
It's
instead of the dancing competition where there's no lift. Pick up the girl one is usually the last one to go. They're they're going to be next week.
That's the most popular one, I guess that's what
everybody's
going.
Yeah, I don't like this one either. It's boring because I don't know how to judge it. They don't do anything.
Yeah, it's pretty much dancing. It is, Miss Parker.
Yeah.
All they're doing is they're dancing on the ice. I'm like,
okay.
Yeah. I'm like, next. I'm over it. Next. But, yo.
Did you see the opening ceremony?
I didn't, but from what I was told, it was
lame.
You know, yeah, it was tired. It was tired. So hopefully Russia will be able to pick it up, you know, with their closing ceremony or something. I mean, just give me some energy. Come on, Russia, please. Sochi, pick it up. Please. Now, speaking of energy, though, yo, I'm sure that y'all heard about Michael Sam, right? The college football player?
Yeah.
From Missouri, yeah. So I just wanted to you know, tell them, yo, if you're listening or if anybody that knows you is listening, I'm proud of you. That's a major, major, major courage to actually come out. So, hey, my brother.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, Aaron, because they were talking about this on CNN, they were talking about it, and they were saying that, you know, what makes it even more brave and that he, you know, he came out is because, you know, he's going to be there. He has every expectation of being drafted into the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And that
he
came out before the draft and not after, because they did some kind of poll and, you know, some people, they don't think that he should be in the NFL anymore. They don't think the NFL is ready for a gay star football player. What do you think about – what do you think of – do you think he should have waited, or do you think he did it on his time
it
when he
seems,
wanted to?
Well, first of all, the NFL has gay stars. They're just not out.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
No. Yeah. They're, from what they're saying is that they're not comfortable. Maybe some people aren't comfortable yet with an out NFL star.
I think he did what was best for him. I don't think he should do anything. I think he did what was best for him at the best time that he felt
that was
right
for him.
Right. One guy said, if the man can play football and a team needs him, guess what? That's
okay.
He's going to overlook.
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Rocker. Thank you.
And he's going to be on that team because he's needed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I feel the same way. Yeah.
And he, you know, he said he came out to his teammates last year, a year ago.
Yeah.
And they all rallied around him, supported him, went with him to, you know, different events, you know. So, you know, I think, you know, it's definitely going to be a game changer. I'm interested to see how it's going to all play out for him, because they were saying some people might not want that pressure of, you know, all that coverage of, you know, I don't know. But I think you'll –
Well, how they were saying, too, like, even though he came out with his team, whatever, somebody from the team could have sold the story and made money.
Right. And they
didn't.
Right.
No one did. That just shows
but
you
no
that,
one did.
I mean, the change is coming. Like, it's okay for you to be – I mean, I think a lot of things about in the NFL that I think the issue is that this whole homophobic attitude, right? Like, if somebody is gay, they're going to want you. Just like if you're straight, you don't want everybody you see. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
A straight man would think every gay man would want them. No.
Yeah.
You're not attracted to every woman you see. You're not attracted to every man you see if you're heterosexual.
Exactly.
So no.
Right.
You're not attracted to every single man. You know?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And also, why is a straight man even concerned about what another man is thinking about sexually anyway? You know, that
well,
I've never understood
saying,
that. If you
saying,
are a straight man, think, you know, why are you thinking about what another man, whether he's gay or whatever, is thinking about you sexually? That's even crossed
right.
your mind. Like, you know,
well, well,
like,
well,
play
what
football.
What they're saying, Aaron, they said, and it was a former player. He was saying that he doesn't know if the locker room is ready for that because they could feel uncomfortable. But it goes back to them meaning they want you just because they're gay. But
that's their problem. That's not his. That's
right.
on them. They have to face it because it's happening. Just like Ms. Parker said, it's happening. It's happening.
Yeah.
So they're going to have, you know, come on. I mean, we've heard this probably back in the 1860s whenever, you know, slavery, and I'm not comparing slavery to gay rights people. Please don't think that I am. But I'm just saying that there were people that were saying, oh, my gosh, we shouldn't do this. I'm not comfortable with it. What do you know? So it's going to be done. It is happening. People need to move on. Get over this ignorance. You know, just come on. Just love everybody, respect, and keep it moving. And win and play football. It's all about playing football. And this brother is great at playing football. He's great. I can see if he was just some average dude, he is a great football player.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that he can only kick some ass if, like, somebody mess with him, too. Like, I don't see him being –
But, yeah, he was
6'2", 260?
Yeah, he ain't
going to
run up on him.
6'2", 260, right.
He's going to run up on him. He ain't going to do that.
You know what I'm saying, right? This is not the gay guy that people think. I think that whole stereotype of what a gay person is, he's not that stereotype. And it might be throwing people off, too. Like, wow, he's a regular guy. Like, people.
Let's talk about – Did you watch what happened to that college basketball player, Marcus Smart?
Yeah.
So what happened, and what do you think about it?
What happened was that it was maybe like it was 5-6 seconds left in the game. It was Oklahoma State was playing Texas Tech. He went to foul the Texas Tech player. He ends up falling into the stands, into the crowd, and he ends up pushing one of the fans of Texas Tech. And he says that the reason why he pushed the fan is because the fan called him a racial slur.
Right.
Yeah. My thing is this.
Well, he called him a piece of crap.
Well, that's what the fan said.
Yeah. That's
what the fan said. The player said that he called them the N-word.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, so it's almost like, you know, okay, who do we, you know, I don't know, he shouldn't have put his hands on them. If he calls you N-word, don't put your, that's what they want you to do. You know, it's like with Kanye West, the whole thing with Kanye West beating up that dude. Dude got a nice settlement now. Got like, I think like six figure settlement with Kanye West over the whole thing. All because somebody said the N-word. You know, it's not what people call you, man. It's what you answer to. You know, I would have just cut them out. Like, dude, you are a N-word. Or not said anything, laugh, whatever, and keep it moving. But I wouldn't have pushed the dude, like, you know.
I get that. But can you, for the play devil's advocate, can you be, just imagine, you're playing the game, you're in the moment, you know, your drone.
Me, I would have cussed him out. I would have called him some things that I can't say on here about his lack of sexual satisfaction towards his wife. I would have said that he's jealous because he's not a black man. He wishes that he could, you know, I would have went there. So
that heat in that moment, you know what I mean? And so you had this man call you, if you did call him that word, you know what I mean? And you're like, what? You know what I mean? I'm not justifying what he did, but I can see how he's thinking.
I just don't want him to be that kind of person where someone can just call you something and you give them that control and that power to make you react in that way. You know, because, okay, what if this brother goes into the pros, into the NBA, and a fan calls him something like that. What's he going to do now? Push them again? That's what they're going to want you to do. Push me, please. Push me. Hit me. If all I got to do is call you the N-word or say that your mama's a, you know, something, and you're going to push me, thank you. I'm about to get, you know, I'm about to go to the bank. So, yeah, just don't give people that kind of control over you. You know, that's all. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Well, the fan was wrong. I'm sorry. Yeah. No. I was just saying that the fan was wrong also, but he shouldn't have put his hands on him. So, anyway.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
All right. Before we go, I'm going to ask you, Ms. Parker, the question of the day, and I think everyone already answered on Facebook.
Yeah,
question of the day: would you care if your ex from back in the day dated one of your friends after you moved on? And what's your answer, Iwan?
I said that, the friend. I said that a true friend would never date my ex. None of my exes. Emphasis on a true friend, you know.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Only a true friend wouldn't do it. If someone else
if they date someone you were dating, then they weren't your friend. They were your acquaintance.
Exactly.
So you would have to redefine what your relationship was or is with that person. But as far as them dating my ex, I wouldn't care. But I would have to redefine what my relationship was if I thought it were
exactly. Thank you, Ms. Parker. Exactly. Perfect.
So it doesn't matter. Good luck.
Good luck.
Exactly.
Enjoy.
Right. Enjoy. Have each other. Right.
Well, let us know what you think on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll take a quick commercial break. Aaron, thanks as always. Take commercial break.
Absolutely.
We'll back after this.
You're listening to the Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. You're listening now. You're listening to the Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio.
The Steve and Knight Show, Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on EOTMRadio.com.
Janet Jackson, CEO of Jackson Events and Entertainment, LLC, She has produced well-known headliner celebrities and corporate events across the world. She has worked on some of the biggest names in the entertainment industry. Janet found her way into the entertainment industry just by being a party goer. Now with over 20 years of experience starting off, attending parties, has launched into much success for her. Once known as KMJ Productions, Janet took that company and merged it into what we now call JEE. KMJ produced the hottest celebrity events, including Super Bowl 2004, entertained in Houston, Texas, hosted by Beyonce, LL Cool J, and Janet Jackson, the singer, and, of course, many events from former Club 112. Janet has a lengthy resume of celebrities she has worked with, from LL Cool J, Robin Thicke, R. Kelly, Beyonce, Morris Chestnut, and many, many more. Please help me welcome Ms. Janet Jackson. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining. You know, I was reading up on you. I said, this is something I need to know. I really need to know this lady. you have done it all. So much.
Yes, so, now, yes. It's been a blessing.
I can imagine. You know, it's funny to me that it started off from you being a party goer. Tell us how you made that transition to just going out and entertaining yourself to making a career out of it.
Yeah, basically, I was out. I was that party goer. I was that girl that was popping the bottles and the VIP. I knew all club owners. I knew managers everywhere. So I was out there spending money, and I kept saying, wait a minute, I know all these people. They all want to be around me, so let me flip it from me spending money to me making some money. So I turned it around. I used my own money. I booked a lot of artists. I did after parties. I did concerts. I just invested in what I love to do, which was party. And I brought other people, you know, around me, so they wanted to party too. So that worked out just fine.
Wow. And so, you know, you've been general manager of Echelon 3000, director of promotions. Established two of the spot.
Yeah.
The Pearl.
I've been in all of them.
So now you're your manager and director of marketing and promotions at Karma Bistro ATL?
Yes, and Karma is the old Echelon 3000. It's the old Echelon 3000.
Okay.
It's old Echelon, but only now there's new owners. It's up under new ownership and everything. So it's a different brand. Same thing, different brand. We're just still doing it big. We're about to start up our concert series. But, yes, it's old Echelon 3000. Even with Echelon, I had my birthday party, and Robin Thicke performed live for me. Patti LaBelle came.
Wow.
Mama Patti, shout out to her. So,
okay.
Karma, you know, it's the same building, just different people. And we're doing it up, and we're about to start our concert series.
Oh,
so I'm excited about that.
And then I know early 2012 you founded Boss Chicks. Tell us about what is Boss Chicks and what do you do?
It's a movement. It's basically everybody wants to be a boss, period, whether it's male or female. We know that everybody wants to be a boss. And there are a lot of females out there that, you know, they have these great ideas. They don't know how to go out there and enforce them or for instance, they don't have that support and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I formed Boss Chicks as it being a movement where other females can uplift and empower other females and help them get ahead. Like if I can give someone some good advice, whether it's an intern or whatever, I'm going to do just that, just so I can help them, you know, achieve whatever they want to without giving up, because, you know, the world out here is cruel. So basically,
yeah,
you know, that if that person that's really not your friend will tell you really to give up when you need to keep going. You need to figure out what you did wrong in the first place. How can I get ahead? What do I need to do on marketing, promotion, branding myself? How do I brand myself? So it's a power move for women.
And I know, I mean, obviously you're giving back doing that. You know, you're using Boss Chicks, but you're about to start your own foundation, My Sister's Keeper, the Iris, and I think that's in honor of your mother, who unfortunately passed away.
Yes, it's an honor.
Tell us about the charity organization.
Yes, the foundation is My Sister's Keeper, the Iris. I really want to empower a lot of young women, but at the same time, I want to empower mothers, there's single mothers that are out there, help them with their resumes. help them with their interviewing skills. You know, I have an HR degree. So, you know, just helping them get ready to face the world and letting them know that they're not alone, that they, you know, to empower them, sometimes even giving them a pamper day, just a day that's all about them to uplift them and just lift their spirit and say, hey, I'm not alone out here. I might be a single mother, but I'm not alone. So even if it's helping them with their resumes, showing and helping them with their interview skills, whatever the case is. So that's what I want to do. I want to go out and speak with a lot of people and really reach them and touch them that way.
And, you know, of all the success you've had, obviously, you know, with all the work you've done over the last 20 years, why is it important for you to give back that way?
Oh, wow. It's just because I've been so blessed. When you've been blessed, you try to bless others. As simple as that. And I want my blessings to continue to come, but I got to give back. I have to, you know, bless others. And God has really, really blessed me. I've went through losing my entire family, mom, dad, brothers, sisters, just everybody, back to back to back. And a lot of people always ask me how, you know, I continue to still remain strong, but I have to do it for them. I mean, giving up just isn't an option for me. You know, it just isn't. I don't say I don't have bad days because I do. I have days I miss them. They're bad. But at the same time, I pray about my good days and I keep moving. And I know that they will be proud of me.
I know they would. I know they would. Did you ever imagine that when you were in school, you know, going after that HR degree that you'd be doing all this?
No. You know what? I was the little cornball. I mean, I didn't party. I didn't do anything. Like, seriously, I didn't do anything whatsoever. I was the cornball. Everybody else was out partying. But then, obviously, I moved to Atlanta. You know, Atlanta will change that real quick for you.
We'll change now. Yeah, they will. They will.
Yeah, Atlanta, you, even if you didn't party before, when you come to Atlanta, you're like, wow. I think I went out to the old club Sensations, which is years ago, and I had such a good time. I moved. I was just here visiting my cousin, so I moved back here 2 weeks later. So, and I've been here ever since. So I've been here going on 26 years now.
Wow, wow, wow. So what's next for me? Obviously, you have so much going on. What else is it that you want to do?
Oh, God. Well, I'm actually living out my dream. I just signed a couple of deals. I have two radio shows coming up.
One is
a internet radio show, and it's going to be focusing on music and everything. It's going to be called The Clock In Radio Show. So I'm going to be doing that from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., the morning show host. And then I just signed another show with 1100 a.m. In Atlanta. I just signed that, and I'll be doing that once a week, every Thursday from 3 to 5. And that's going to be a little bit of everything. Actually, you'll have entertainers. You were going to talk about health issues. We're going to talk about relationships, sex, good sex, bad sex. We're going to talk about all that. Yeah, so we're going to get real deep on Thursdays. The things I can't talk about on Monday through Friday from that 6 a.m. to 10, we're going to address it all on Thursday.
On Thursday. That's what's going down. That's what's going down. Now,
yeah, it's going down. And then I also have my cosmetic line coming, too. Yeah, I'm really excited about that. Actually, they're finishing up the packaging and all that, so I should have my samples in this week. So I'm excited about that. I'm starting out with a lip line and an eye line first,
okay.
And I'm going from there. It's going to be called My Little Secret by Janet Jackson.
Wow. So I know that I believe it was last month you had a AIDS awareness event called Celebrity Dinner called Boss Up in Red, and I was actually invited to it, and I couldn't make it. I was so disappointed, but tell us about that event.
Yeah, I was like, you should have been there. You should have been there.
I
it
know.
Was awesome. It really was. I'm used to people coming out and supporting me for a party because everybody that knows me knows I can throw a party, and they're going to come out. But for everyone to come out, you know, for such a great occasion, when I started out with Boss Up in Red, my PR diva, I love her to death, Miss Misha, Miss Mimi, and when I started out, she, you know, I was, like, planning my birthday weekend. I was like, well, what am I going to do? And it just hit me. I saw a commercial. And then I phoned my aunt back home in Tennessee, and I was like, you know, I had a cousin, Elaine, that passed from AIDS, and I was like, you know, how would you feel if I did a benefit, you know, in her honor? You know, I would love to do something to increase, you know, awareness. And she was like, I think that'd be wonderful. Go ahead and do it. So, I mean, literally, I got on the phone with Misha, and she was a blessing. We just put our foot forward because everyone was saying what we did in 2 weeks, most people take 6 months to a year to plan, really. And I did it at Sweet Atlanta, and everybody came out in their red and everything, you know. And it was still my birthday, so Case gave a live performance. Also, Michael Keith from 112 performed, Dave Tolliver performed. I mean, it was just Benzino, Carly, everybody came. It was wonderful.
Wow.
It really was. And everybody
wow.
gave back. You had dinner, you mingled, but it was for a good cause this time. It was really
yeah.
for a good cause. So it was a blessing. It was awesome. It really was. Everyone's still talking about it. The buzz is still going on.
Wow. You know, so I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight, and I wish you nothing but continued success in all your business ventures. You know, like I said,
thank
you're
so you so much for having me. Yeah, you're invited. So to anything you hear that I have, make sure you come out.
I will be there.
I really appreciate you guys having me.
Thank you so much. You have a great night, okay?
Thank you, sweetie. You too.
All right.
Bye.
And for more information about Janet Jackson, go to BossChicksATL.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. You're listening now. You're listening to The Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio.
The Steve and Knight Show, Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on EOTMRadio.com.
China Tashir Griffin is a dynamic young artist blossoming in West L.A. area. While studying music business at Musicians Institute, the singer, who goes by Tashir, aspires to be the industry's next domineering force. The offspring of North New Jersey producer Kayami Griffin and R&B legend Faith Evans, who's been on our show, rest assured that the apple doesn't fall far from the family tree. Please help me welcome Tashir. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
How are you? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like I'm talking to royalty right now. I am talking to royalty.
Oh, <'Cause, Lord. laughs>
Do you get that a lot, you know, obviously, you know, you being Faith's daughter, do you get that a lot of people, you know, drilling you to death about your mom and your dad?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm not even going to lie, yeah. And it used to be, you know, annoying, especially when I was
right.
younger. And I'm like, well, I'm trying to come out and do my own thing.
Do your own, right, yeah.
Right, but I've come to accept it and embrace it and just
mm-hmm.
be grateful, because it's like some people just starting off, don't nobody give, you know, two craps about
right, yeah.
have to say. And people
uh-huh.
automatically want to pay me some type of attention just because of who I come from. So I'm definitely grateful for that.
Yeah. And I noticed that a lot of your mom fans are appreciating your work and becoming your fans. How does that feel to have, I mean, your mother, you know, who's done so much in the industry, but now that they're embracing you, like, okay, yeah, this girl got it. How does that feel?
Again, just a blessing. I know that maybe in the beginning I was nervous that I wouldn't be able to ever break that association, you know?
Right.
But
yeah.
a lot of the people who do listen to my music, they end up telling me, of course, oh, I listen because I'm such a fan of your mom, but as I kept listening, you know, I realized that you really are doing your own thing and you have your own sound, and so that's good. That's all I can
mm-hmm.
really ask for, is that people realize that I stand out, you know? I stand out.
Yeah, because, and I will tell you, and I was listening to some of your music today, very good, by the way, and if you don't hear your mom, you hear you. It's two different styles. Would you say that it's two different styles?
Definitely so.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. How do you describe your music?
I'm sorry?
How do you describe your music?
It is very, I don't even know how to put it into words. I don't. And I hate the fact that I have to at some point call it something.
Yeah, right.
I have to put it into a genre, so let's just call it urban contemporary, I guess. Because that's the fusion of R&B, hip-hop, pop. Because
yeah.
I listen to everything. It definitely incorporates all different styles, so. I don't even know what to call it.
So, you know, we saw you on R&B Divas, you know, for your mom left the show in terms of being a cast member. How was that experience being out there with all the ladies and, you know, your mom? And because it was a fashion show that you surprised your mom with in. How was that experience?
Okay, so because some people think that was fake, no, it was literally a surprise.
Oh, wow.
Like,
wow.
Nobody had any idea that I was going to be there except for the producers of the show and Nikki Gilbert.
Right.
But when I finally got there, it was like, it was amazing. Nikki and Monifa, I've known since literally I was like probably 2-3 years old. So it was cool to see them again. And
yeah.
My mom was very, very shocked. So it was cool making my little TV debut, I guess.
Okay. So tell us about how your mom influenced you, because I know, you know, Faith Evans, you can't have Faith Evans as a mom and not be influenced somehow in your music. So I know that it's a different style. I'm sure there are certain elements you get from her. How does she influence you?
You know what's crazy? Of all my mom's albums, her second album, Keep the Faith, I never really listened to. And
okay.
I was listening to it the other day, and I was like, okay, wow, I guess. Like, I heard myself. It was crazy.
Oh, wow.
It was
wow.
like, oh, that sounds like something I would do.
Uh-huh.
And I don't ever go in planning, like, oh, I want to do these backgrounds like my mom. But I guess it just kind of happens that way without me even thinking. So I guess she's influenced me in that way for sure, background vocals and all of that. And just the different music that she's played while I was growing up definitely has helped shape my style.
Yeah. Who influenced you other than your mother? What other artists influenced you?
Brandy, hands down, is my favorite singer. I don't think I really, really wanted to sing, like, for a career until I started to get into Brandy's music.
Wow.
Brandy had a huge hand. The Neptunes, when I heard the Neptunes for the first time, that's when I started making my own beats. I was, like, 10 years old.
All right.
Literally, I was 10, and I had my mom had this keyboard that she used on her first tour back in, I think, like, I don't know, 95, 96 with Drew Hill. And she was like, here, you can have it. And when I started playing on that thing and I realized, like, oh, you can put all these different sounds together and blah, blah, blah. Like, I thought it was so cool to get my own beats. And that's thanks to the Neptunes and Stevie Wonder. So Neptunes, Stevie Wonder, Brandy, my mom. Michael Jackson? How could I not say Michael Jackson?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, really. Like, when I say I was a fanatic, like, I think I was 7 when I first just kind of discovered him on my own. And, like, I made my parents buy me every single Michael Jackson album, T-shirt, memorabilia, everything.
Oh.
So, yeah, those are my idols.
You know, you talked about your mother and Drew Hill. You know, back in 1998, I have an older brother, his half brother, my brother. His sister was in Total, and so, so it was Case, then Total, then your mother, then Drew Hill. They were all on tour together, and they came to Richmond, where I'm from. And that was the first time I saw your mom live. And I remember my mouth was wide open, like, wow, this woman can sing. And then, you know, she was on our show last year, and then I had the chance to meet her at the premiere of R&B Divas, because I know Jermaine. And so I met her that night. Yeah. So I had to put your mom's gorgeous, and you are too. You get your new look for your mother. I'll give you that. Now, you talked about production, so that you'll be producing a song on your mother's upcoming CD. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I didn't produce it. I co-wrote it.
Co-wrote it. Okay.
It was produced by, if I'm not mistaken, Chucky Thompson, who did, like, basically all of her first album. And he worked with a lot of artists on Bad Boy in the early days. But, yeah, I think it was produced by Chucky. And my mom, she had this hook, and she recorded the hook literally, like, probably over a year ago. And it was just kind of sitting around, and she was like, help me finish writing it. And so I was like, because she couldn't come up with anything, and I took it and sat with it for, like, literally 10 minutes. I came back, I was like, here you go. And I wrote the verses and bridge, and it's amazing, literally, such a dream come true, because she told me that Missy and her artist Sharia J actually laid verses on it. So I was like, what? And I had the chance to hear it. It's crazy.
So you are writing, you're making beats. What can we expect new music from you? What do you have coming up?
Man, I'm in the studio right now. I guess I kind of had to take some time to just find my sound, you know, find myself, find my sound. And I put out two mixtapes before, and I kind of consider those to be experiments, because I was just experimenting with a bunch of different ideas in my head. But I think right now I'm really focused on kind of creating a signature sound and hopefully putting out another project for the summer.
Okay. Now, the two songs we're going to be listening to in our next half hour is Capricorn Love and Grown Lady. Tell us about those songs.
Okay. Those are both on my first mixtape, Femme Fever, which I put out 2012. Capricorn Love, I it's such a genuine song. I had, like, the biggest crush on this guy at the time, and he was a Capricorn. So, yeah, like, everything I write is literally just stuff that I experience and go through, but that song I love, and I know it really hit home with people, because everybody's on Capricorn Love. That is my song. That's my favorite. Thank you. So, yeah, that. Lady, I was kind of on my Beyonce-ish tip when I did that song. I really did kind of have her in mind when I was recording it, like hoping that one day I could just hopefully give her that song, like, here, take it. And it's so funny because she actually has that song now, Grown Woman.
Grown Woman, right.
Which is so ironic, because I swear to you, I wrote Grown Lady for her. So, yeah.
Wow. So I'm going to ask you our question of the day. Our question of the day was, would you care if your ex from back in the day, way back in the day, dated one of your friends after you moved on?
Would I care? Heck yeah. No, because 9 times out of 10, they knew each other and were around each other while we were dating. So, you know, that makes me wonder if they were talking to each other before.
Exactly. Well, listen, tell everybody where they can follow you, your social media, shout them out so we can know what we can keep up with Tajir.
Yes, it's Tajiré, by the way.
Tajiré. See?
You gonna know my name.
I know China. I've always known China.
Look, everybody has always known China, but I felt like really going to make a name for myself.
Right.
I had to kind of just come out with some different. Tajiré is my middle name, and that's what I decided to go by. So it's Tajiré, and you can follow me at Tajiré Official on Twitter and Instagram, and I follow back.
And let me tell you, let me clear something up. I asked one of our producers how to pronounce your middle name. I said it's Tajiré. No, it's Tajir. So I want to put that out there. I said Tajiré. But no,
hey, it's
been a pleasure.
It's okay, because look, let's ask Beyonce how many times people slipped up on her name when she first came out.
We all going to know that name in a minute, aren't we? We all going to know Tajiré.
Better believe it. Yes, sir.
Look, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, and I wish you nothing but success, and thank you for taking the time and being candid with us and kicking at the Stephen Knight Show. So we appreciate you.
No problem. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, you have a good night.
You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
EOTM. Got it going on. There's a fire burning in the street. EOTM really, really can't be beat. There's so much we say to everyone we reach, changing lives with our scorching, steaming heat. We have a PR that gets you on TV. Don't let this pass you, cause everyone won't see. Call us, we will work out a great deal. Get you heard on a station that has wheels.
We will always be around. We can always be found. Got the net locked down, so you'll always have it on. We got the VJs, they can put you on the wave. So go ahead and say,
EOTM got it going.
To EOTMradio.com. Check us out. Talk to Carla. Get the PR you need to get on TV. Take it from Ron Anthony, nominee for the South Florida Gospel Music Awards. Don't forget, let's take it to the street. All right? EOTM. Got it.
Welcome back to Stephen Knight's show. Do want to remind everyone to go to EOTMAwards.com, find out more information about this year's ceremony going down in Chicago, California, so make sure you go to EOTMAwards.com. All right, well, now it's time to go into Stephen's playlist. As you know, we receive music from people all over the country wanting to be featured. Be featured, and we select artists to play on our playlist, both independent and major. Now, tonight we have people like Drake, Tajiri, Ciara, and many more. And if you're interested in being featured, please email us at thestephennightshow@gmail.com, not our Facebook page inbox. I get a lot of, and I don't have time to go through all those. So email us, though, stephennightshow.com. Attach one or two songs, your bio, one or two promotional pictures. And remember that all songs must be edited for radio, meaning no cursing. And we definitely look forward to hearing your work. Now, the first song is by Tajiri entitled Capricorn Love. Check it out and enjoy Stephen's playlist.
somebody you should know. Flinging your world around and they watch as you're falling down, 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 falling down, babe. Evidently your words were merely lies, reverberating in my ears, and the echo won't subside. There's a deep, deep loss of hope, and the anger burns in me. I hope you don't get no ideas about reuniting, baby, 'cause that's the last thing I truly need. Your audacity, too much to be believed, oh. Go to meet me on your contact, try to leave. Cause somebody used to know, flinging your world around and they watch as you're falling down, 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 down. Maybe letting go,
maybe letting go
ain't easy.
No, right there. I'm my bed. Let me get it cracking. Conversation turn to plenty sexual frustration. Fuck faces looking at a heart that not being patient. Oh, really dope. You drink, you smoke. Get a hit, get a ace. Fly high, not coach. G5, sit back. I'm dry. Let me know. On the couch, on the bed, on the floor. They go, they win. Get the win. We go, we toast. To the game, no game. We both really grown. I'm saying, you play. I mean, I dang. To my own beat, to the beat. Lift up your hands and drunk motherfuckers in the holding cell.
drunk in love. I've been drinking watermelon.
So that was Stephen's playlist. I want to thank our guests, Tajiri and Janet Jackson. We had an issue with Mars. We're going to reschedule him back, though. Definitely want to chat with him. Thank you all. Have a great week. God bless.
Peace.
I know we broke your heart, so it's rolling down your face. You know I'm coming over to make sure you're okay. You don't have to wait, I'ma save the day. Call me Superman.